The Difference Between Prayer and Mercy by Dana Naram. Read by CookieMom6067. As Joe devours his mouth, Nikki can almost taste the plums. He breathes into their kiss, inebriated. They don't get drunk, not really, not for long anyway. It's like vertigo, and once you stop drinking, it fades away too fast. The feel isn't so different from coming back from a blow to the head, just not as painful. And right now, Nikki can't tell if what he feels is the rakija still coursing through his veins, or if it's the warmth of Joe's hands cradling his skull as he pushes him against the door of their shared room. The old planks protest their weight, but they hold. Nikki almost remembers when that last batch of rakija was made. 96 or maybe 97, a couple of years after they cleaned the boathouse of a group of smugglers, they had been kidnapping kids to be turned into soldiers. Nikki still can't forget how those rifles looked big and awkward in their small hands, and he sometimes remembers how some of those boys cried for their mothers when they looked up at Andy. Once they had managed to deliver the kids to safety, they decided that the place was a good spot for a hideout. Isolated and barren as it is. The war lasted a decade, so they went back there many times, though apparently not enough to clean their stash. After being stored for almost three decades, Nikki isn't surprised the rakija tasted stronger, richer. But now he almost wishes he hadn't had that last shot. He's not worried about snoring, though. He knows Joe never cares. Joe, now busy pressing their groins together, a hand sneaking under Nikki's shirt, palming his stomach, reaching for his heart. It's my new boyfriend. The words sound absurd even now. Maybe especially now. And for a moment, Nikki wonders if he misheard them entirely. He might have. He should ask Joe for clarification now that it's just the two of them, but Nikki, he doesn't want Joe to stop. He needs Joe's hands and Joe's tongue and the half-words being whispered against his ear. Most of all, he needs Joe's fire. For Nikki's body still remembers the crash and the feeling of free fall crowded by the moment he stopped breathing as the water swallowed them whole. He has showered since, yes, but Nikki still can feel ice inside his bones, and he needs to be warmed from within. Niccolo, Nikki smiles. Joe sounds like he needs him as well. Whatever is happening, it has nothing to do with this. This still feels the same, sacred beyond words. And so he reciprocates Joe's touches, kisses his lips, cradles his beard, caresses his neck, and then, carefully, pulls Joe's hair tie and frees his curls. Nikki's fingers are engulfed by texture, feeling Joe's scalp, still a little damp from the fall, the shower, and now the exhilaration. Joe's laugh vibrates against his lips when, without breaking apart, Nikki tosses the hair tie away, certain that the offensive thing will land in the bin strategically beside their single bed. That has been the subject of some discussions since Joe began growing out his hair. But what matters now is that his curls are lush and loose. And so Nikki holds on as Joe leads him towards the bed. The sheets are crumpled from the night before, and one of the pillows has fallen between the bed frame and the wall, but Nikki ignores it as he's pushed on top of the bed. Joe pauses, hands on his belt, as they stare at each other. Joe's breathing labored as he looks down, as if he's seeing Nikki for the first time in ages. Nikki's chest tightens. He thinks Joe looks almost haunted, and he's about to ask what's wrong when Joe starts to shed his clothes, his movements smooth and fluid as water. Need help? Joe inquires once he's done, his voice low. He stands by the side of the bed, gloriously naked, waiting, for Nikki hasn't made any effort to undress as well, too mesmerized by the sight of Joe's body. Tracing the line of his corded muscles, his chest, his arms, noticing how Joe's hair is almost the same length as it was when they first did this, centuries past and miles away, and maybe there's still some alcohol in his blood after all, for Nicky feels a lot braver now than he did a millennium ago. I do not, he replies after a heartbeat, ignoring his heavy and jittery limbs as he parts his legs with intent. Only you're usually so fond of helping yourself. Joe snorts, or maybe he hides a groan, it's hard to say, but naked as he is, he can't hide the way his cock twitches at Nicky's words. He's half hard already, slightly wet at the tip, and Nicky's mouth goes dry. He moves at the same time Joe does and gasps at the powerful hold of Joe's fingers in his hair as he feels Joe's cock head brush against his lips. My heart, Joe breathes out. And Nicky opens his mouth, closes his eyes, and licks the salty skin. Like this, Nicky. Just a taste now, yes? Nicky nods the best he can with his hair in Joe's grip, not trusting his voice. He still is completely dressed, and yet he has never felt so exposed. He breathes in and relaxes his jaw, allowing Joe's cock to slide inside. The feeling is familiar. And before he knows it, he's grasping for the bedsheets like an anchor when his nose is firmly pressed against Joe's groin, overwhelmed by the scent of Joe's skin, that mix of salt and sun. Nicky blinks up as his vision threatens to blur at the edges, but before he can do anything, before he can touch Joe's body and beg him to move, to fuck his mouth properly, Joe pulls out, wet and now fully hard. Nicky manages to pry one of his hands from the bedsheets to wrap it around at the base of Joe's cock. He breathes as he leans in, still very aware of Joe's fingers in his hair, and so he licks Joe's balls, ignoring the shiver of anticipation and how hot and taut they feel under his tongue. Nicky. Joe shudders, caressing his scalp, sliding his cock back in, just the tip. Nicky. Nicolo. Nicky works his tongue, takes a little more, a little less, and back. After a minute, he wonders if it will be enough to warm him up if Joe finishes hot in his throat. He feels another pull on his hair, the delicious ache triggering another moan from them both. Basta, Joe says, and it sounds so different from the playful tone he used at the table earlier, voice now on the edge of a blade. If Nicky weren't so close as well, he might be able to feel smug about it. He manages to remove all his clothes while Joe retrieves the lube. Nicky bought it only a few weeks ago, on his last trip to the drugstore to restock his aid kit, and then he went and left the sealed bottle in Joe's bag for him to find. He remembers the charged look on Joe's face when Nicky came back from attending to Andy's wounds that night, the smile he offered in return. Nicky understood the urgency in Joe's eyes then. The last 6 months were a blur of covering their tracks and chasing the next target and feeling responsible for Andy and for Niall for entirely different reasons. So their touches had been too brief, measured, reserved for the scarce mornings they found themselves alone. Joe's arms around Nicky's body, Joe's cock between Nicky's thighs, his moans muffled against the back of his neck. But now they can have everything. Let me look at you, Joe says in Arabic. And Nicky wants to answer, you have looked, my love. But the words are stuck in his throat, along with the aftertaste of plums and alcohol and something else he cannot name. But Joe looks with his hands as well, and Nicky knows he will map his body with fingers and tongue next, though Joe stops right at the start. He stares and lets out a heavy sigh as he places a hand on Nicky's right ankle. I'm sorry, he says, eyes cast down, Nicky's heart skipping a beat. I should have. Nicky licks his lips and places a hand over Joe's, intertwining their fingers. Joe shakes his head and pulls his hand closer so he can brush a kiss on Nicky's knuckles. Joe looks over their joined hands, and his eyes are dark and bright. and Nikki thinks he sees some guilt in them. But that doesn't make any sense. It healed, Nikki wants to say. Maybe he should move his ankle a bit for good measure. But it's silly, is it not? What happened during the chase wasn't Joe's fault. Joe can see that, surely. So instead, Nikki smiles and pulls Joe's hand to his chest. Come. Joe blinks away unshed tears, and he nods furiously as Nikki spreads his thighs, welcoming him. He inserts slicked fingers inside Nikki's body as he pushes his tongue inside Nikki's mouth. Their shared pleas, a secret only meant for them. And Nikki does cry out as Joe fucks into him, slow and deep at first, then building a rhythm, a cadence, adjusting his hips once, twice, one of Nikki's legs propped over Joe's shoulder, then one of Nikki's heels, the right one, heeled and hale, yes, yes, pressing hard against the small of Joe's back, pulling him deep inside. Yusuf. Nikki is not above begging. But Joe was never a cruel man, so he doesn't have to. Yusuf. And Nikki forgets whatever he was going to say with Joe's next thrust, his will shattering, his soul pried open. Joe touches Nikki everywhere he needs, fucks the coherence out of him. He takes Nikki's leaking cock in hand until he's soft and pliant, barely conscious, up until the instant Joe stills at last, fills him up to the brim. Nikki doesn't know where he finds the strength to embrace Joe, to pull his love on top of him until their heartbeats fall back into sync. Now, don't sleep on me yet, Joe teases, voice but a whisper kissing the shell of Nikki's ear, and Nikki nods, clenches his muscles as Joe pulls out. They take turns in the small bathroom. Nikki first, so he can deal with the mess inside him, trying not to mourn the loss. He takes a moment to brush his teeth, too, and once he's back, he gets busy, putting some order in their bed while Joe goes to clean his teeth and his cock, but thankfully returns with his hair still loose. They allow themselves to wear only shorts tonight, hopeful they will get to sleep in for a change. And Nikki's mind is almost clear as he feels Joe's body slacken against his back, soft and sated. His beloved won't be talking in his sleep today, Nikki knows, and allows himself to gloat, but not for long. As he lies there, Nikki notices how, even after cleaning his mouth, he can still taste plums, maybe even in his teeth, and the realization catches up with him, almost like a dream. Rakija could be bought in every shop, but the homemade stuff was better. Everyone knew that. During the war, often plums rotted in the trees for lack of able hands, so no one cared when Joe and Booker broke into abandoned orchards and filled their bags with ripe fruit. Andy taught them how to make the liquor, emphasizing the need to remove the pits before distillation. They contain cyanide, after all. So, it's not like it can kill us, Booker joked. Joe laughed until his sides hurt, and Nikki might have frowned back then, but now he isn't sure. It will ruin the taste, Andy said, and that was that. It has been only 6 months since London, and for a moment Nikki considers turning around and waking up Joe, demanding an explanation, but he doesn't move. His muscles are still warm and battered by the long day, by the alcohol and the laughing at the table, by their lovemaking. It could wait until morning. Tomorrow, or in a couple of days, Nikki muses, Andy will ask for a break. They have finished the job, after all, so maybe it's time. Also, Niall has hinted that she needed it, and Andy has a soft spot for her. When that happens, he and Joe can go somewhere, just the two of them, and they will talk and find a solution together as they always do. Yes, Nikki sighs and buries himself in Joe's arms. They could have that. A little time, just for them. Because the difference between prayer and mercy is how you move the tongue. I press mine to the navel's familiar whorl, molasses threads descending toward devotion. And there's nothing more holy than holding a man's heartbeat between your teeth, sharpened with too much air. Devotion. Ocean Vuong. The end.